witnesses. Their testimonies are often discounted in some ways because a large number of them left the church and were actually excommunicated. And so people say, oh, you know, what kind of witnesses are they if they left the church? How could they leave if they knew that what they saw was true? Well, here are some of the details and why I see their leaving the church as being, in a lot of ways, something that makes their testimonies even more credible. In every single printing of the Book of Mormon since the very first edition in 1830, the Book of Mormon has had the testimony of the three printed in it and the testimony of the eight witnesses printed in it. When Joseph Smith first received the golden plates, he was told not to show them to anyone. As translation progressed, he and the various scribes that he had, who were writing for him, learned from the pages of the Book of Mormon that they were transcribing and receiving by revelation, and also by additional revelations that we now have in Section 5 of the Doctrine and Covenants, among others, that there would be three special witnesses who would know by the power of God that the things that Joseph Smith had said were true, that there really were plates, that there really was an angel, and that the translation was true. If you want to take a look at some scriptural citations that Joseph Smith and the witnesses heard about during the course of their transcription of the Book of Mormon, take a look at 2 Nephi chapter 27, verses 12 and 13. Take also a look at Ether chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. And then for an additional revelation that talks about that subject that is not in the Book of Mormon, but was definitely a revelation to Joseph Smith, take a look at Doctrine and Covenants section 5, verses 11 through 13. It talks about the testimonies of the eight and the three witnesses that are going to confirm that these things occurred. Now, the witnesses were each men who were known for their honesty, for their capabilities, for their truthfulness, even though, as I mentioned earlier, each one of the three witnesses was eventually excommunicated from the church. None of them ever denied or retracted their published testimony or any of their testimonies. Each one of them reaffirmed at every opportunity that what they saw and what they felt and what they heard and what they had experienced was true. Now, eventually, two of the three witnesses returned to the church. More about that a bit later. A June 1829 revelation confirmed that Oliver Cowdery, David Whitmer, and Martin Harris would be the three witnesses. Take a look at DNC 17. Soon after that happened, Oliver Cowdery, David Whitmer, Martin Harris, along with Joseph Smith, went into the woods near Fayette, New York, and prayed for this divine manifestation that they had been told by revelation would happen. I don't have time here to go into all the details about it, but they prayed for some time quite fervently, and eventually Martin Harris said, I'm the cause of the manifestation not occurring. And so he retired. And then Oliver Cowdery, David Whitmer, and Joseph Smith prayed again, and almost immediately they had the manifestation, which is summarized quite nicely in the Book of Mormon. An angel appeared, showed them the plates and the engravings, and they heard the the Lord declare that the Book of Mormon was translated by the gift and power of God. And they said that the same divine voice that they heard commanded them that they should bear record of it. And so they did. After that happened, Martin Harris and Joseph Smith went and prayed again by themselves, and Martin Harris and Joseph Smith had almost an identical, well, very, very similar experience to the one that was had by Oliver Cowdery, David Whitmer, and Joseph Smith earlier. So each of the three witnesses did, in fact, have that experience. Joseph Smith's mother later said what a huge relief it was for Joseph Smith to have this event happen. Because up until then, he had been the sole person, the only person who had actually seen the angel. And Joseph Smith said, they will have to testify too. I'm not the only one who bears the burden. They have now to testify as well. This was a huge thing for Joseph Smith as well as the others. Now, soon afterward, at the farm in New York that was owned by the Smiths, the other eight were allowed to view and handle the plates. Christian Whitmer, Jacob Whitmer, Peter Whitmer Jr., John Whitmer, Hiram Page, Joseph Smith Sr., Hiram Smith, and Samuel H. Smith. And they signed their testimony of the eight, saying that Joseph Smith showed them the plates, which they hefted, meaning picked up and felt, turned over, examined carefully, and turned the individual leaves, and they examined the engravings, which they described as being of curious workmanship. Now, there's a fabulous scholar, Richard Lloyd Anderson, at Brigham Young University, who's written extensively on this topic, and he has made the wonderful observation that in 1829, this word curious had a little different meaning than it does for us today. If somebody said, that's curious workmanship, it might mean odd, unusual, strange workmanship. What the phrase curious workmanship meant back then suggested that it was careful. It came from the Latin word for careful. So this was careful, fine art. Artful would be another synonym back then. So what they saw was workmanship that was careful, that was fine, and that was artfully done. And the five of the eight witnesses that solidly remained in the church said so. And those that were excommunicated, John Whitmer in 1838, and his brother Jacob, and brother-in-law Hiram Page, Hiram became inactive, all still said the same thing. Curious workmanship, and they described the events that they saw identically. Now, one of the fascinating things is that it's been claimed there was some kind of collusion with all of these men. And one of the other things that's not often known is that others were witnesses in some sense as well. More about the other witnesses besides the eight and the three, and about the way that these witnesses' testimony is actually increased because some of them left the church, and why collusion would be impossible. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner.
Hey, with Martin Tanner on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Tanner, your host. This is Religion Today. We're talking today about the Book of Mormon witnesses, the three original witnesses, and also the eight witnesses. And when we left, we were talking about why collusion would have been really impossible, why that wouldn't have worked. And also, why it is that there are actually a few other witnesses that we really kind of don't hear so much about, although they're a little bit different from the eight and the three. Incidentally, if you have any questions or comments about this or any other radio show that I've done, send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com. martinstanner@gmail.com. I'll be happy to respond to your inquiries. And actually, if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment about something totally aside from this, as long as it deals with religion, I'll be happy to respond. Joseph Smith's wife, Emma, as she was in the Smith home, had the chores of the home on her shoulders. She would cook, she would clean, she would do all the things that housewives of that era did. And many times she picked up the plates or slid them as they were covered from one place to another so that she could clean or do her duties. And she described how she felt the movable pages of the plates. She dusted around the cloth-covered record that was being translated. And she knew because of this that this was no parlor trick. She herself felt the plates through the covering. Now, another interesting witness that people don't often know about is Peter Whitmer Sr.'s wife, who was actually shown the plates by a heavenly messenger. She didn't actually feel them or pick them up, but she was shown them by a heavenly messenger so that she would know for sure that the work was of God, and that took a huge burden away from her. Now, when you get to the three original witnesses, Martin Harris, who was a prosperous farmer, spent 2 months transcribing for Joseph Smith. And then, after he helped, I guess, would be a way to say it, lose the 116 pages, he was no more allowed to be a scribe for Joseph Smith. And yet, he was someone who knew because of the witness that he'd had from the angel, and also because of his experience with Professor Charles Anton, that this was a true work. And he put his money where his mouth was. He financed his farm. He mortgaged his farm for the publication of the Book of Mormon, the first edition. He would never have done that if there was some collusion and this was not true. Would you finance a huge farm that in today's dollars might approach $1 million or more to finance a book if it were a fraud or a fake and you knew it to be so? I don't think so. So point number one, Martin Harris finances his farm, indicating no collusion. This was real to him. Next of the three original witnesses, let's talk about Oliver Cowdery. He was scribe for the Book of Mormon for a significant amount of time. He learned about the plates and the translation while he was boarding with Joseph Smith Sr. and his wife, Joseph Smith's mother. He was a school teacher, and the custom of the time was for school teachers to board with some of their students. And so he was living with the parents of some of the students, happened to be Joseph Smith Sr. and his dear wife, Lucy Mack. And Oliver was fascinated with this. He walked from the Smith home to Harmony, Pennsylvania, where Joseph Smith was translating, and he became one of the witnesses as well. Of the 200 or so, now let me set the stage here. The original three witnesses all left the church, and we'll talk more about why in a minute. but they left the church. There were approximately 200 interviews with the original three witnesses about the angel, the plates, the record. The vast majority of these were after they were kicked out of the church, and they were angry in a lot of different ways for different reasons. And most of it was because they felt that because they had seen an angel and been involved with the translation, that they should have as much authority as Joseph Smith. I mean, that was kind of at the heart of it. They didn't see him as being any more special than they were in many ways. And so that was the crux of what happened to a lot of them. But be that as it may, in all of these interviews, even though they were unhappy about the church and some of its decisions and Joseph Smith and some of his decisions, they described independently and before the official history of the church was published, the same details about what happened. How could there be collusion there? The details are precise. Furthermore, after they got kicked out of the church, if this didn't really happen, why would they continue to say something that was completely unpopular and that was thought by some to be crazy? There's no way they would have done that. They continued to maintain, every single one of them, that what they had seen, that the angel appeared to them about the plates, about its translation, that that was true. What happened about these witnesses and their inability to fabricate the details because they had moved to different places and they had no specific writing that they could reference to remember the details other than reality means that it would have been impossible for them to do something that was collusive. It would not be possible. Further, they would not have done it. Now, one of the things that's fascinating is that none of them, even Oliver Cowdery and Martin Harris, who returned to the church at the end of their lives, despite the fact they had negative things to say about Joseph Smith, ever made a statement that I've been able to find that disagrees with the description of another about how the events happened. Think about that. Try to find, here's the test case. Try to find four or five people, family members or friends, get together, make up a story that you're going to tell everyone. Make it pretty fantastic. Make it a religious vision. Make it some other event. I don't care what you want it to be. But see if you can come up with something and keep it together for decades. It's not going to happen, especially if there's a disagreement with you. It will never happen. Someone would bail if it were not really real. The testimony of the three witnesses and the eight witnesses are incredibly powerful. The more you look at them, and even the more so because some of them left and would have had every incentive to say if it were not true. Join me next week. I'm Martin Tanner.